saving money on your next project now at Menards. Don't let an outdated garage door define your home. Revamp your home's appearance with a new ideal garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door designer. Hurry in and save big money on your next project. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hi, friends. How are you today? My name is Bailey Sarian, and today is Monday, which means it's Murder, Mystery, and Makeup Monday. If you're new here, hi, my name is Bailey Sarian, and on Mondays, I like to sit down and talk about a true crime story that's been heavy on my noggin, and I do my makeup at the same time. It keeps my hands busy, and I need it. If you're interested in true crime and you like makeup, I would say, hey, subscribe, because I'm here for you on Mondays. Yeah? Great. Other than that, I'll shut up, and let's get into today's story. I actually never heard of this story. Happened not that long ago. And I don't know. I'm always surprised. Every time I do a murder mystery, I'm like, really? It gets worse. It always does. So today's story is about like a shopaholic, spoiled teenager, pretty much, who was never told no. And that was like the only intro I could think of. Pretty much. So the Harubi family, that's who we're talking about. It was a family of four. There was the father. His name was John. Mother, her name was Joy, but everyone called her Tinker. They had a son. He was the oldest son. His name was Alan, and then a daughter named Catherine. So John, who was 50 at the time of this story, he was a publisher of a local weekly newspaper. His family, like generations before him, had owned the Duncan Banner, which was a local paper. And it was like 3 generations in his family this paper was in. And then he ended up selling it in 1997. So when he sold the paper, it left the family like with a good chunk of change. You know, like they had a good amount of money and they were able to live pretty comfortably. Then in 2007, John bought 2 other local papers, the Marlowe Review and then the Comanche County Chronicle. So again, local paper. It's what he knew. It was in the family. I think he liked it. Right? So he kept it going. He was also the vice president of the foundation of the Oklahoma Press Association. He was also like an active Boy Scout leader and did lots of different charitable activities. Everyone who knew him considered him like very trustworthy, loyal, friendly, cheerful, just a good guy. So Joy, his wife, she was 48 at the time. She was a formal school teacher who wrote for the local paper, the Marlowe Review, the one that John owned. And on top of that, she was actually a licensed private investigator. I'm not sure if she was like working as a PI. I couldn't figure it, but it doesn't matter. Like she was licensed. She could. So again, everyone called her Tinker, and they had nothing but like good things to say about her as well. That she was a devoted friend. She was committed to doing good for like the community and also her family. Yeah, they just sound like, you know, simple, quiet, nice people. So then they had their 2 kids. They had Alan and then Catherine. So Catherine was the younger daughter of the 2. She was 17 at the time when the story takes place. And she at this time was a junior at Duncan High School. And she was like on the volleyball team. And it was said she was like really good, really smart. She was a great friend, loyal, funny. She always had a smile on her face. Her family like wanted their kids to like go to college and be successful in life. And so she was on that path to go to college and, you know, go on to do whatever whatever she was going to do. And then she had her older brother, Alan. And Alan and Catherine are kind of close in age. He was 18, 19 when this story takes place. She was 17, so close. And I guess growing up, the two of them were pretty close, like the siblings, you know. And then as they got older, they drifted apart. It's believed because of Alan's crappy behavior, which we're going to talk about in a second. You know, just trying to paint the picture here. Okay. So the family, the four of them, they lived in Duncan, Oklahoma. I guess it's like is a pretty small area. It has like 20,000 to 25,000 people living there. But the family lived in like a very nice neighborhood. They lived on Bent Tree Street, which housed people with like money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a neighborhood that you would go trick-or-treating at. That neighborhood. So it was said that, you know, everyone, not everyone, but like a lot of people in this neighborhood, they were familiar with the Harubi family. You know, they had like a large presence there. They were well known, and it was said they were extremely well liked. You couldn't not like them. They were just nice people. There was a neighbor who would like later give an interview, and this neighbor was like, oh, the Harubi family would always help you out. Like, if your car wouldn't start, they'd come out and like help you jump your car. If your dog ran off, they'd try and help you catch your dog, just like doing neighborly things. So they were a close family, well off, and everyone, for the most part, was like familiar with them.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Now, their son, Alan, he was not ideal. Okay. He was born December 13th, 1995. I'm thinking about that because he's a Sag, but he's a December Sag, and they're different. I can say that because I'm a Sag too. So, not much is said. I don't know how he was raised or anything, but it was like once he hit his teenage years, that's when he became like a little shit. He was a troublemaker, to say the least. Well, I don't know, actually, because I don't know what he was like when he was a kid, but it was like, you know, he hit those teenage years, and like that, he's just like things went south. But it could have been going south for a long time. I don't know. Anyways, what we do know is that at the age of 13, Alan, like, he got caught stealing his grandmother's car. Yeah. I'm not sure what the outcome of this was, but, you know, he did that. Then when he was 15, he was driving and he got pulled over for speeding. And he told the officer, like, oh, I don't have my wallet or anything, you know, like, ugh. Alan, he gave the police officer a fake name and a fake birthday. Like, he made it up, right? I mean, luckily, the officer, beep bop boops, looks up the plate and all that stuff. And he was able to, like, find the correct information. And that backfired on Alan, stupid kid. But he ended up getting charged with, like, speeding, obstructing an officer, and for having no license / insurance. I was surprised he didn't get arrested. You know? Like, isn't that, like, a major crime? But I don't know. Again, not sure what like the what happened afterwards. I'm sure he got a stern talking to, but unclear. The only positive thing I read about Alan was that in high school, he won the Best Actor Award at like the Duncan Theater Summer Teen Workshop. So that was the one positive thing I read. He won that, so good for him. His peers, they felt eh about him based off of what I was reading. A lot of the people who knew him or whatever, they felt like he was a bit of a fibber, you know? Like, everything out of his mouth was like, yeah, sure, Okay. You know, like Ellen was ranked. Well, he told people that he was the fifth ranked high school tennis player in the state. But it turns out like that wasn't true. His tennis coach would later say that like Ellen actually wasn't even very good, like at all. But he told people otherwise, you know. Ellen would also tell his friends that he was going to become a male model. And he was actually about to appear in W Magazine that very December. He's like, yeah, everybody wants me. I'm like a hot shit male model. But again, that wasn't true. And like, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but like, if you look at a picture of him, male model, you know, whoops, whoopsie, oops. But that's what he went with. Some of his peers would say that he came off like a bit stuck up, that he was just a big talker. And again, nobody really believed what he said. He's just always... Everyone was beneath him, okay? So there was some trouble, family trouble, that happened in 2012 when the police were called to the Harubi household because Ellen, I guess he attacked his mom. Like, he's still a teenager. So I guess there was some kind of argument. Sources said, like, over money. I'm assuming here that he probably stole money, but whatever. What we do know is that there was an argument. And Ellen ended up attacking his mom. Like, he got so mad that he attacked his mom, Joy, and then he was choking her. So the police were called. I think the parents were trying to, like, spook him or something, but they didn't press charges. I get it, though. Like, it's your kid. I'm sure that's the last thing you want to do is, like, press charges. But they should have, you know? So charges weren't pressed, and, like, the story would honestly get buried because they owned all the newspapers and stuff. Yeah, so they kind of, like, swept that under the rug. But it just like showed that Ellen had a temper and he wasn't afraid to attack. So after this, we're not sure like what the parents did. Like they probably punished him, you would hope. I'm sure they did, but there's no like reports as to what they did. But what we do know is that the parents, John and Joy, when Ellen graduated high school, which was like not long after this attack, they bought him a brand new Jeep as a graduation present. Yeah. I don't know. If my kid tried to choke me, I would not be buying them a Jeep. Okay? Mm-mm. You know, but then again, I'm not a parent. I don't have kids and I'm not in their shoes. So. But they bought him a Jeep. So I'm sure that really taught him a lesson. You know, but the car, it wasn't enough for Ellen. He wanted more.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
So in 2013, Ellen, he signed up for an American Express credit card, but he did so by using his grandmother's information, like her name and, you know, her social and all that. And he signed up for a credit card, got approved. He's like, hell yeah. It was said that he would like go visit his grandma all the time. I guess she lived close by, but like, yeah. So Ellen, he liked to spend money. Right. He liked to spend money and he liked to show off his extravagant lifestyle on social media. Oh, yes. He like loved social media. He was all over it. He used his grandma's, but like, you know, the American Express card. He used that card to book a 6-week trip to Rome, Naples, and Paris. 6 weeks. Okay. So during his trip, like, of course, he was, you know, sharing pictures along the way, or at least posting pictures along the way. I mean, he's like, look, he got like expensive watches, wallets, cars. Like, he didn't get the cars, but you know, when like people like post pictures like next to the car as if it's theirs, he's doing a lot of that. He was sharing a lot of these large purchases he was making on this trip. There was like one picture that Alan took. It was like of this $4,000 watch. And in the background, you can see like the twinkling lights from the Eiffel Tower. I can't. I hate those types of people on social media who just try and flex about how much money they have. Like, it's so fucking loserish. It's so lame. Doesn't matter. Okay, look. So he posts that. He's like, oh, look at me. I'm living the life that you wish you had. And then like a few days later when he was staying in Paris, he was staying at like this really nice, famous landmark hotel. It was like in the chic Left Bank district. I probably couldn't pronounce it. So it's just like a well-known hotel, okay? He, you know, he takes a photo and he posts it on social media and he puts the caption like, you know you're at a nice hotel when it's the same one the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills stayed there. Like, first of all, it doesn't make sense, but okay, all right. So many would say that Alan was like a shopaholic, but like even Alan himself said that he was. His Twitter, which is still up, so naturally, I spent forever going through all of his tweets. Research. Okay. Anyway, so he tweeted a lot. There was numerous tweets from himself where he's calling himself like a shopaholic. And there's also a ton of tweets that did not age well. Woo. But yeah, he loved his shop. And like also on his Twitter, he would always post about fast food and like wanting fast food. He's just like a dumb teenager. So there was even a blog post from Alan, which is now deleted. But this original blog post said, there is no bigger rush than getting to the register at a store and swiping your credit card. And in that moment, you're waiting for the screen to say approved. You start to get heart palpitations and you get a rush of adrenaline. By the time she's handing your stuff to you, you are so high on adrenaline, the $15,000 total does not even faze you until you've gotten home and seen the receipts. All right. Okay. So I'm not sure like what he told his parents before going on this 6-week trip. Right? Like he must have had some kind of good explanation at first. But doesn't matter because the fun won't last. It won't last long. So Alan's father, John, discovered the credit card fraud, and he ended up reporting it to police, who said that he was furious and he wanted his son Alan to be prosecuted. One of John's friends at the time said that John was like just beside himself, that he could tell it was really wearing on him, and like he was enraged. So his father followed through, and Alan was officially charged in August of 2013 with racking up nearly $5,000 in fraudulent purchases on his grandmother's card. But law enforcement, they said like the real amount was closer to $80,000. Yeah, I believe that more because like $5,000 for a 6-week trip, you know he charged way more than that. So then in January of 2014, Alan, he actually pled guilty to the charge of the credit card theft. So after this, he would be placed on like delayed sentencing, which is a form of probation for young offenders. So as part of the punishment, the court ordered him to pay restitution. He also had to attend drug and alcohol counseling and complete a cognitive behavior program, and then also undergo a substance abuse evaluation. I don't know. If you caught your kid doing this, like, what would be the proper punishment? I'd be like, lock him up. Well, yeah, well, I think that's fair. I'd be like, no, he needs to go to jail. Because obviously this little shit didn't learn anything. Because, like, the next month, it was, like, February 2014, you know, Alan, his spending wouldn't be stopped. Right back at it. So he posted two photos of these expensive-ass wallets, including, like, one of them had the initials monogrammed on them. So, you know, it was like extra money for that one. He posts this online of the two wallets. One of them had been chewed up by a puppy. So I had like bite marks all over it. And Alan captioned it, two wallets, 2 days. Like, wow. He has so much money. He went through two wallets in 2 days. Oh, get better goals, people. Okay? Get better goals. Right? Come on. This isn't a flex. Ugh. So he posts this. No idea where he got that money from. And then a few months later, Alan started up a Facebook page that contained the following line. Having observed surgeries at Duncan Regional Hospital during his high school years, his career plans include studying plastic surgery. I guess this was his new lie. Well, maybe it wasn't a lie. Well, it's probably a lie. Because he was telling people, Alan was telling people that, you know, he was studying to become a plastic surgeon. Okay. You know, all right. And then also on this Facebook page, it said that he was being represented by a public relations company and a modeling agency in Oklahoma City. Again. Okay. All right. Sure. All right. Okay. Modeling. All right. Okay. Well, Alan, he needed to keep up appearances, and he went back to what he knew.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Stealing from his grandmother. So this was the summer of 2014, and like Alan would visit his grandma, and I guess she would leave her checkbooks out, like, you know, because she's trusting or whatever, that her grandson isn't going to be a little shit. So she's leaving her checkbooks out, and he would just like steal checks from the checkbook. There were some sources that said his grandma had dementia, but then other sources said that she didn't. So I don't know if that was true or not, but either way, he was taking advantage of her. Okay. We can all agree on that. So between June 1st and July 15th, 2014, Alan stole some of his grandma's checks, and he used them to spend around $17,500 until the bank, grandma's bank, like, had caught on and contacted her and told her that they believe she was a victim of forgery. They pulled like video surveillance that caught Alan cashing one of the checks. Oh yeah. So he was caught and he was about to get in trouble. I guess like nobody knew yet, or at least like there weren't any consequences happening yet. So Alan just like kept posting on his social media like normal, you know. There's this one photo from August 2014. It's of Alan. It was on his social media. It's like on his Twitter, I think, still. But he's at the local Windstar Casino and he's holding up a cash voucher. And the caption said like, I was the big winner. And like, but I think maybe it was sarcasm because like the cash voucher was for $41. But yeah, you know, okay. So once the summer is over, a few weeks go by and Alan, he goes to college and he's attending the University of Oklahoma where he would be majoring in political science. So no plastic surgery, I guess. So the school was about 75 miles from his parents' home in Duncan. And when he got all moved in, he had tweeted about having lunch with his mom at a popular restaurant that was near the campus. The tweet said, like, lunch at the Mont with mommy. All moved in. According to the students at the University of Oklahoma, the people who, like, kind of, like, knew him or was around him, they said like Alan would often brag about how much money he had or like how much money his family had. Plus, he was known to go on spending sprees. He would show up to class or like at a friend's house wearing a Rolex watch. He would have like Louis Vuitton shoes and would tell people if he traveled, he only flew first class. He was just annoying. On social media, anytime Alan would post something, you know, he's always showing off. He would use like hashtag expensive. Friends who knew him at the time, they referred to him as impulsive, spastic, and obsessed with money. And I think based off of everything we've heard, we can all agree on that. Sounds about right. So Alan has moved in, right? In October of 2014, he's driving his Jeep and he once again gets pulled over for like a traffic violation. And he does the same thing that he did when he was younger. He told the officer he didn't have his driver's license. And then he gave like a fake name and birth date. This time though, the officer like didn't look him up or anything. Just kind of like was like, all right. And like gave him a ticket, which is a shame. And I believe this is like when he's reaching his like the boiling point. Some sources said that like after Alan got caught stealing his grandma's checks, he went and he borrowed money from loan sharks and like payments were due, but he had no money. So he needed to fix this quick. Alan decides the only way to continue this lifestyle was to get rid of everyone. So that same night that he got his ticket, he actually drives out to his parents' place, you know? He knew that his dad, John, he carried, or he had like a 9mm pistol in his pickup truck. So his dad was like at work or something. And Alan drives to his location, kind of like parks the Jeep so his dad doesn't see him. He finds his dad's truck. He gets into the truck. He takes the gun. And then he drives back to his college. Just hours later, John, you know, he goes out to his truck and he notices that the gun was gone. So he instantly went to the police and reported it stolen. So Alan, he steals the gun. He drives back to his college. He like waits a little bit. And then he drives back out to Duncan and waited down the block from his parents. So he's doing a lot of driving. So he kind of like parks down the street so no one would see him. And he's like waiting for his mom to get home. So once he sees his mom like, you know, pull into the house, whatever, he waits a little bit. He, Alan, snuck around the house to get into the backyard so he can go through the back door. When he gets inside the house, he shot his mother in the head. When the first shot didn't kill her, he shot her a second time. Over what, you say? I know. Then, his poor younger sister, Catherine, she was in the front driveway and she was just like out there fucking washing her car. She heard something, so she comes into the house. And you know, that's when she comes into the house, Alan shot her in the head, which killed her instantly. So then Alan said that he then waited in the house for about an hour for his dad to get home from work. Yeah, he was sitting in the house with the bodies of his mom and sister just like laying there. And he's sitting there for like an hour. What in the sick? I know. So gross. So Alan's just waiting there for his dad. So his dad does get home. And when he did, John walked into the house where Alan shot him. And like watched his father fall and then shot him a second time. After killing his whole family, he staged the house to make it look like, well, he tried to stage the house to make it look like a robbery had happened. And then before leaving the house, he took the gun, the murder weapon, and then also the home surveillance equipment. Yeah, he took that with him. Now, some reports say that he tossed this stuff into a nearby lake. But then I was watching like the court footage and I believe they said that Alan took the stuff and put it in the family storage unit. But either way, what I'm trying to get at is that he was trying to rid the evidence. He tried. So then after doing all this, he drove back to college campus. He returned to his dorm. During the murders, Alan had left his phone in his dorm room so he wouldn't be tracked. Like he was, you know, trying to think ahead, I guess. So when he got back to the dorm room and back to his phone, he sent out a few tweets Some had photos of like the view from his dorm room. Like, wow, what a nice night. Look, you know, to make it look like that he was in his dorm room having like a normal evening, just being a normal college kid, nothing to see here. Now, it may sound like it was late in the evening, but it was not. It was still early. I mean, I thought it was like, I was like, oh, it must be like late at night because he was doing so much driving, but he wasn't. When Alan got back to his dorm, you know, he posted all those tweets and whatnot. Then he drove out to Dallas with some friends where the Oklahoma University was playing its annual football game against the University of Texas. So it was like this, you know, everyone was going. He didn't go to the game, but he booked a room at the Ritz-Carlton Dallas so he could like hang out with his friends and like party in the room, and they could have it all weekend. I guess it's like a big party scene. But he like literally just killed his family, and he went out and he was like, right, he's like partying. Alan even posted an Instagram photo of him and like some of his friends in the hotel room. He posted it like that Sunday as if nothing happened, you know, no big deal. He also tweeted, college wouldn't be half as great without these two peaches. Hashtag best friends, hashtag roommates, hashtag college. One of his friends said that like nothing that he said or did raised any suspicion. Like every time he saw him on the weekend, he was happy, he was laughing, he was having a good time. And that like the two of them were up in the early morning of like Monday morning, just like joking and studying together. Like nothing literally happened. So around 9 a.m. Monday, October 13th, 2014, Duncan police, they receive a 911 phone call from a, you know, distraught woman who turned out to be the Harubi family housekeeper who had been working for the family for like almost 20 years at this point. She arrived to the house like normal, and that's when she, you know, she found the dead bodies of John, Joy, and Catherine, and all of them had been shot dead. So at the crime scene, I mean, it was all three bodies, and then also around them were the five spent 9mm shell casings. Sadly, the bodies weren't discovered for like almost 4 days, but people were starting to get worried when John didn't show up for work Friday morning. And also, according to employees, he also failed to cover the weekly high school football game. And like John always attended the football game. So it was just like, it was weird. So when the police get out there and, you know, they see the crime and all that stuff, the Duncan police, they inform Alan about his family. And it was said that he was like crying and like, he was very upset. But some people like kind of felt like it was funky, you know, it was acting a little bit. But so Alan went down to the police station with them, and, you know, they're telling him about like the early stages of their investigation. The police chief noted that Alan was distressed and very upset, and that he even like spent a long time with a chaplain confessing his sins. Because Alan was suspected in a pending stolen check complaint, police held him for the night for further questioning. On top of that, Alan had also violated his probation for the credit card fraud offenses by traveling out of state to Dallas. So they're like, we're holding you here for that. They knew something was up. Okay, they just didn't know what, but they knew something was up. So police are questioning Alan, asking him like where he was, you know, like when was the last time he saw his family? And initially Alan had told the investigators that he hadn't been home like for days by this point. But again, they knew something was up. So the next day, investigators, they used a search warrant to get all of Alan's toll records from the recent months. Ooh, pretty smart. The toll records, they showed that Alan had used the turnpike to travel from his college town of Norman to his hometown of Duncan twice on the day of the murders. Police in Norman also found 4 more stolen checks under Alan's dorm bed, along with like a notebook with handwritten notes that was mainly like him practicing signatures, I guess. So that evening, while still in police custody, Alan would eventually crack, and he confessed to killing his family. They were pushing him. There's like a little clip you could watch on YouTube. It's only like 30 seconds, but they're like pushing him and pushing him, and you could see he's just like okay, I did it. Like, he couldn't take it anymore, you know? From the description of the officers, there was, like, no emotion when he was retelling what he had done. So Allen was arrested, and then investigators announced to the public that he had been charged with concealing stolen property in relation to the stolen credit card. But then, like, not long after, they had announced that Allen was the sole suspect in the murders of his family. So prosecutors alleged that Allen staged the crime scene to make it look like the killing was the act of a robber, you know? And then 3 days after his arrest, the district attorney told the media, quote, "I think the only remorse he has shown is that he got caught. It's remorse because he knows his life is basically over. He's either going to be incarcerated for the rest of his life or he'll be on death row," end quote. So the district attorney also told the media about the previous incident at Allen's home where he had assaulted his mother, Joy, remember, over money. He was referring to that incident where he tried to choke his mom. And the district attorney called Allen, who, mind you, I forgot to mention, he was 19 at this time. Sorry about that. But he referred to Allen as an evil kid, which I was like, yeah, I'm sure we can all agree. We can all agree on that. Yeah. So the district attorney general said that Allen killed his parents to inherit the family's estate, and he killed his sister so he would be like the sole heir. Allen had also confessed to owing $3,000 to a loan shark in Norman, and he felt that the murders would generate an inheritance to pay off his debt. Over $3,000. Wow. So Duncan police detective, his name was John Byers, he reported that Allen admitted to killing his family because he had been cut off financially due to an abundance of spending in the recent times. At first, Allen was going to plead not guilty, which is like, really, dude? But it didn't last long. He ended up changing it to guilty to 3 counts of first-degree murder after the prosecutors dropped their request for the death penalty. So the deal was made at the request of the surviving Harubi family members. They didn't want to go to trial. They did not want this to go to trial. They didn't want to sit through the trial or anything, and they had said that they had been through enough. So without a trial, there would be no death penalty. Which, personally, I think that's better, right? Like, why give him the death penalty and give him an easy way out? Let him sit in there and just, you know, have just for the rest of his life. Like, that, I think, is worse than the death penalty. In June 2015, Allen and a journalist from the local paper called the Oklahoman, yeah, they were in contact with one another. And the journalist asked Allen, like, why? And he also asked Allen if the tears that he was shedding in the courtroom, like, was that real? Why were you crying? Was it all for a show or something like that? Just anything and everything. Surprisingly, Allen wrote back saying, quote, "I 100% welcome the death penalty. What occurred is so horrible, it is deserved. It is so unspeakable. This has been the hardest thing I've ever done." Which, side note, I was like, this is the hardest thing you've ever done? You killed your old family. Like, what? Like, that part, I was like, I got hung up on that sentence for a little too long. This is the hardest thing you've ever done? He went on to say that the tears have all been real. I lost my entire family at once. How could they not be real? Then he went on to say, not taking a shot at you. It's just hard to hear that somehow I'm faking all this. Then he added, this didn't happen because of shopping. My shopping wasn't something I or my parents could not pay. They just thought my spending was out of control, and it was. End quote. Okay, like, then what was it, Allen? You know? Okay, like, okay. I don't know. Anyways, Allen's letter also said that he didn't feel like himself that day and that he's still trying to work out why he took this inconceivable action. Not once did he ever say, like, sorry, I'm sorry I did this. Sorry. He never said sorry. Not once. During sentencing in 2016, family members had showed up to give some statements. His grandpa was there and, like, looked right at Allen and said, like, my only comment to the boy is, may God have mercy on your soul, period. Then John Harubi's sister, her name is Allison, she wasn't present in the courtroom, but she had requested that during sentencing, her letter be read out loud. This is what it said. I have known the killer since he was born and spent many holidays and vacation time as family over the years. The killer was part of our family, but no more. He has destroyed that family by the evil and insidious acts. If there were ever a definition of evil, it would be the killer who took our family. I want him never to hurt another soul or to ever see him again." End quote. It seems like there's not enough words to like tell someone like, fuck you, you know? Like you just, God, I'd want to punch him in the face so bad. There's no word. Yeah, you get it. Like, what do you even say? Alan, he was like able to speak, but he was barely audible during his statement. He was just shaking and crying as he told his family members that were there how he killed his parents and sister. But again, like not once did he ever give any type of apology. Not once. Fucked up. So the district attorney said that he firmly believed Alan was deserving of a death sentence, but that he would honor the family's position and like not wanting to sit through a trial. And then he also asked the public like to respect the family's decision. So under the plea agreement, Alan was sentenced to 3 consecutive life terms in prison without the possibility of parole. He in turn agreed not to appeal, not to contact his relatives, not to profit from his crimes like through book or movie deals, and to not communicate with the media. The DA said that he's going to prison and no one is going to hear from him again. After this, Alan was transferred to the Oklahoma Department of Corrections in McAllister, where he is currently serving his life sentence and will be there probably forever. He's like nothing more than a butt buddy, really. And that's going to be the rest of his life. All for what, huh? Stupid. So I was reading like, where is he now, you know? And right now they're like, there's still some ongoing stuff because he did become the sole beneficiary for his father's estate. Yeah, so that includes like his trust, money, all that bullshit. So they're trying to like figure this out and how to terminate this so he doesn't get the money. But like there's, you know, it's a whole legal mess, really. So hopefully he doesn't get it, but like by his 35th birthday or something, if nothing like changes, then he would get the whole estate. Just a mess. And that, my friends, is the case of Alan Harubi. He killed his whole family for what? For what? Oh, it's so awful. Luckily, he's going to be locked up forever, but like, you know, that doesn't bring anyone back. Oh, so sad. The fact that he just killed everyone, his sister. Oh, it's just such a sad story. I went deep, dude, because you could find his Twitter and like all of his tweets and stuff. Everything else has been deleted and removed, but if you have like extra time and you got nothing else to do, find his Twitter. He's a little shit. I'm sure the parents thought they were doing everything that they could, you know? Ugh. Make good choices. Don't be a little shit out there, okay? Fucking come on, okay? Okay. Have a good day. Make good choices. And I'll be seeing you guys later.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.